Good morning. This is your host, Dr. Kerry Mason, the show, The Doctor in the House, and it's been heard over 31 years right here on AM 1690 WVON, and we're glad to have you as one of our very, very, very important listeners. We got a great show for you today. This is the University of Illinois Cancer Center show, and we've always been happy to be to work with the university. University of Illinois Cancer Center on the many, many things that they've been doing with respect to the community, and particularly as it relates to cancer, as they strive to try and reduce the burden of cancer, particularly in communities of color. And today is no difference from that. We're going to be talking about a situation about breast cancer, and we're going to be talking with Dr. Abiola Ibrahim, and she has been on before, and we're going to be talking about clinical trials. What is a clinical trial? So, Dr. Ibrahim, how are you this morning? Dr. Ibrahim?
Terry, this is... I'm not sure if Dr. Ibrahim, can you hear me, Terry?
I hear you fine.
This is Dr. Deborah Mayes with the University of Illinois Cancer Center. I think we're talking about survivorship today, I thought.
Yeah, we're talking about survivorship, and I thought we were going to talk a little bit about clinical trials. Let's go ahead and because survivorship is critical. The clinical trials play a role in defining those new things that might be helpful to increase survivorship. So let's go ahead and continue the conversation about survivorship, because I don't think that they're separate. I think they go together quite nicely.
They do. You're right, Terry. I agree.
So why don't you introduce yourself so that we know exactly what your title is and what you do?
Yeah. Yeah, thanks. Hi, I'm Dr. Deborah Mance. I work at the University of Illinois Cancer Center. I've been there for about 4 years working as an oncogeneralist. So that's someone who's kind of got a hand in oncology and kind of got a hand in primary care and takes care of specifically cancer survivors. And I work to help out with that clinic and to spread education about survivorship to our providers, patients, and communities. And I think Jeanette Carter, one of our patients, is on the line as well.
Ms. Carter, are you on the line as well?
Yes, I am.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wonderful. Well, let's talk about this whole idea of survivorship. What does it mean? Why is the university involved? Why is the cancer center involved in? And what role does the university or the cancer center play in this, as well as the role that they're asking the community to play? So let's go ahead with that conversation.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and start with that for you, Terry. We are, as the Cancer Center at University of Illinois, very involved with the community and with patients who are survivors of cancer, which is anyone who's been diagnosed with cancer is considered a cancer survivor in our eyes, and we will help with all of the needs of cancer survivorship. We see patients in the clinic personally, and then we also bring this to the community with educational events and other events. Like yesterday, we had a great large wellness fest, essentially, with Wellness House out at Miles Square Health Center. I know Jeanette was there. Do you want to talk about that, Jeanette?
Yes, it was a great event. It was people who were survivors of cancer, all areas of cancer, they came. They had they had food for everyone. They had massages there. They had tutorials on how to put your eyebrows on. A lot of times when you're on the surviving end of cancer, things begin to come back to life in your body. And so women and men as well, were learning how to draw in eyebrows. They had yoga classes. They had nutritional classes. Sometimes when you are on the other end of surviving, your doctors want you to be on special diets. Like me, my doctor wanted me to be on a Mediterranean diet. And though I'm like, I don't know, what is a Mediterranean diet? And so the Wellness House had different programs where they had teachers there to teach you, cooking instructors there to teach you. So they had all kinds of things going on there for the survivor and caregivers as well.
Yeah, and all these six other issues in survivorship, Terry, and we use all these different methods to help out with improving the life and wellness of all of our patients.
Well, this is so important to have this conversation about survivorship, because many people think that cancer is a death sentence and that they don't think about, and we don't talk probably enough about life after the diagnosis and or treatment and treatments of cancer, despite no matter what area that cancer starts in, because that's what we do. We name the cancer by the organ where it starts. It may go other places, but we do name it by where it starts. And as a former practicing urologist for over 26 years, I've had my share of dealing with men and women dealing with bladder cancer, prostate cancer, and so on, and kidney cancer. So it's important, because so many people think that once they have a diagnosis of cancer, that life is over. And somebody is in the background. They're chiming into the conversation. They want to have something to say as well. But the importance of having people together who have that common bond of having had a cancer diagnosis, undergone some treatment, and may still be undergoing some treatment. How do you keep that conversation going? How do you maintain for those people in the survivorship mode the kinds of things and the kinds of things that they need, particularly to give them that push they need to continue to thrive despite whatever they may have thought they were going to do or have after being diagnosed with cancer?
Yeah, that's a tough one, Terry. Yeah, it's the survivorship clinic is is really a place in doctors will identify patients to refer to our program at the University of Illinois. And it's those patients who need some additional help, need to, you know, have additional needs that could be taken care of better. And we serve as a real sounding board for patients and just to listen to our patients and what those needs are and how we can be helpful and giving resources and really building a rapport and trustful relationship so that cancer survivors are willing to open up to us and let us help them. Jeanette, is that what you've experienced with us?
Oh, yes. And, you know, I find that from my experience, I find that when you say the word cancer, again, to what you were saying, people tend to put the like a death sentence around it. So then when they hear that you are a survivor of it, it is like, really, really, you are? And I'm like, yeah, there's a bunch of survivors out here, whether you believe it or not, there's a bunch of survivors, but it's almost like a secret community of survivors, of cancer survivors. So the fact that we're talking about it today and the fact that this is so great that people can learn that, yes, you can survive cancer. Cancer is not always a death sentence. And this is what survivors look like. It's awesome.
Well, I think that the key from what I remember from some of the other conversations is that you're not just surviving, you're thriving. You're able to do number of things because people have this idea about what they may not be able to do, what they may not be able to continue to participate in. So let's talk a bit about how you re-inject or how you reinvigorate people by using these kinds of events to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and survivorship, is different for every patient, but all survivors, you know, have a hard time reengaging with life, just like you're talking about. I know Jeanette can probably validate this, is it can be a struggle to get back into some normalcy. We often call it the new normal. And engaging survivors with things like exercise, like yoga or Tai Chi, nutrition, and learning how to cook for their history and how to try new foods and things like that and healthy diets that are helpful with lowering risks of any new cancer coming about is really what we try to connect these patients with those resources so they can expand their toolbox and really learn to live well after this cancer diagnosis.
There is a new normal. I am a two-time breast cancer survivor, and there is a new normal. And figuring out what that new normal looks like is not easy. Sometimes you automatically go back to what you're used to and what's norm for you, what you grew up doing and eating and things like that. When it all changes, it is all new. So adjusting to the new normal takes time for different people. I have friends that jumped right into the new normal for them, and they were just like ready. Others, it take us, and that was me, a little time to say, okay, guess what? I just can't eat this anymore. Or I just can't wear this anymore. I can't go here. I can't drink that. That new normal takes time for a lot of people. But by talking about it, we can know that there is a new normal, and it's okay to not understand what your new normal is just yet. It's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say in the clinic, we try to help patients with realizing those limits and what those things are that have changed in their lives.
Well, Dr. Maris, how did you get yourself engaged in this kind of activity? I know that at the University of Illinois Cancer Center, I know you have a background in preventive medicine and public health. How did those things begin to shape how you then approached cancer? Since you're in a different sort of area.
Yeah. So I can go back to when I was in medical school at Loyola. My sister developed breast cancer when she was only 45 years old, and she was found to have a BRCA1 mutation. She went through cancer treatment, chemo, surgery, and then I had genetic testing because BRCA1 is a genetic cancer risk predisposing genetic disorder. Turns out I had it too. So it's very much colored my life because that changed a lot of things for me. And I had to make some tough choices to do risk reducing surgeries way back 11 years ago. I actually graduated yesterday, 11 years ago. So that kind of colored my path a little bit. Kind of swerved a little bit, but yes, I found my way into public health where we met Terry back in 2015. And that opened my eyes to all these different things that the community experiences together. And then getting into the preventive medicine program at Cook County Hospital with Dr. Pamela Ganshaw really helped me pull those two things together and learn a lot about how medicine and public health intersect. And I worked closely with Dr. Ganshaw in cancer predisposing a mutation, a hereditary cancer program, and from there found my way to cancer survivorship with Dr. Susan Hong across the street at University of Illinois Chicago. And it was a perfect fit with my history and with my education and training to go into this new role in cancer survivorship because I had a personal passion for all of it and for, again, medicine, public health, and cancer mutations. So it's been a natural fit, and I've really just loved all my time working with the providers and patients at UIC.
You know, Ms. Carter, the other thing I'd like to sort of bring, since we went back into the history a little bit, especially in the African-American community, everybody thinks when you hear that word, and we mentioned it earlier, that the cancer word, that you're going to die, and they don't want to be experimented on and all that sort of stuff. How do you allay some of those kinds of fears, particularly as people are going through the treatment to get to recovery?
Well, the first thing I do is use myself as an example to let them know and to actually show them that this is what survivorship looks like. You can be on, you can survive this, you can do this. It is very hard, I must say, in the African-American community to truly get people to understand that five-letter word only has as much power as we can get, as we give it. And so let's not give it the power so that we can get on the other end of this thing. And a lot of times getting everybody to understand that and getting them under the theory that you're going to die or you may die or this is going to take you out, as they always say. That's the favorite line I hear all the time. Oh, it's going to take you out. You gotta kind of just let them know, look what I look like. It didn't on my dad's side of the family. My dad comes from a family of 14, six of females. And out of all six of them, five of them are survivors of breast cancer, and they all are living, all living. So we don't have to. And so I try to use myself as an example, tell them about the University of Illinois and their survivorship program, do the genetic testing. My family, my immediate family, we did genetic testing. Get into those type of programs that can help you to understand this whole process and help you to understand that you can survive it.
When they look at you and you start telling them that story, your story, do you find that they have some degree of disbelief, or do you they accept it readily?
No, they start out with disbelief. They start out almost like they make me feel like I'm a salesperson trying to sell something. And it's like, no. So they start out with kind of disbelief. But as I began to talk more and more to them and explain things to them and let them know how you can survive, a lot of times some of the things that they're going through during chemo and radiation, let them know that it's normal, you're going to feel better, give them some ideas as they go through it. They begin to say, okay, I can do this.
Yeah, it's really, really so important. And, you know, I've picked up another passion of my own, and we'll hear a little bit more about that later. But it's about food, and that food is so important to prevention, recovery, and of many, many diseases that we are suffering from, and can help in the recovery phase once you've had those treatments. And we need to really focus more on foods that are not processed, that are, you know, not coming out of bags or boxes or things of that nature, but actually are things that come. And that's one of the things that we're working on, is to work on foods that are grown naturally in a environmentally sustainable way, without pesticides or anything like that, so that we can make available to people in the community those kinds of foods at a reasonable price. And we'll talk a little bit about that more in just a little bit. But at the University of Illinois Cancer Center, I think what's important is that this is a commitment by the university to bring the best that we can bring to bear on cancer, and to bring people in, not just to work through the importance of the diagnosis and the appropriate treatments, but this phase of it, this survivorship phase, to me is absolutely critical. And I know Dr. Maris, you've been doing this for a while, and we want to make sure that how do you encourage your colleagues to make certain that people get this kind of referral if necessary, or knowledge about these kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we met Terry at the Food and Medicine Conference at Loyola many years ago, and I was very involved in food and medicine educating residents on this at Cook County when I was a preventive medicine resident. And it's still something that I carry forward and feel very strongly about. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Whole foods, I just had a lecture given by our nutritionist to our group of staff at University of Illinois Health about nutrition. And the nutritionist spoke about a whole food plant-based diet, which I know you're a big proponent of. And so I talk with all my patients about that, about trying to eat more fresh vegetable, whole foods, less processed foods, not so much sugar, salt, fat, and things that can cause that inflammation, which can increase cancer risk. So that's definitely something that I'll talk with people about. Jeanette mentioned the Mediterranean diet. They try to break it down and make it real easy for patients. To understand, you know, what are good things to be putting into your body. And Wellness House helps a lot with that as well, because they have nutrition classes. They teach residents and community members how to make certain foods and what is healthy to eat. So that can be very helpful as well.
Yeah, we're looking at a number of things, and I'm very much engaged in the role that food plays. And there's so much so that I don't have any clinical responsibilities and don't want any anymore. because I feel so strongly that food plays such a large role, not only in prevention, but actually in continued rebuilding of the person in the survivorship mode. We'll be talking about that in just a few more minutes. But I am just so happy that the University of Illinois Cancer Center has this kind of opportunity. Now, is it only patients at the university that are treated at the University of Illinois Cancer Center can avail themselves of this, or can other cancer survivors avail themselves of this service?
Good question. And yes, we are open to all. We see patients who've received all their cancer treatment at other hospitals. We're a very unique program in how comprehensively and personalized we address all of the needs of our patients. And anyone from any hospital, even if you were treated 10 years ago, we can still see you and talk with you. That they can call one of our nurses. We have two, Kristen and Kate, and I can provide those phone numbers if need be. Anyone Absolutely. Is welcome to be referred into our program. Yeah, Kristen is 312-485-0638, and Kate is 630-531-5198. You can call them anytime. They are open and available at all times to be listening to and
need you to give those numbers. Give those numbers again very, very slowly. And so people weren't ready. They didn't have their pens or pencils ready. So let's do this more than just one more time. We're going to be taking a bit of a break for just a few moments. And then we're going to come back, and because I want to give a conversation just a little bit about the fresh vegetables and what we're doing, and how we can work synergistically, because I believe so strongly in what you guys are doing in terms of survivorship, and then the role that food can help in that, and to the extent that we can be involved, I'd love that. Obviously, there's a cost for it. But there is something that we believe very strongly in. And this food that we've been growing out for several years is really been great. We'll have you talk to the farmer that actually does this so people can hear a bit from him before we finish the program with you. So let's give those numbers for those resources for the ladies that you just gave. Let's do that again, and let's do it slowly so that people now get your pens, people. Now get a pencil in case your pen doesn't work. I know I get that all the time. Sometimes I have to get a pencil because the pen doesn't work. At least I think it might not. So let's get those names and those numbers. And I'm going to ask Dr. Maris to give us that information again. Doc?
Yeah, no problem, Terry. Yeah, we have two nurses with survivorship. You can call anytime, and they will get back to you if they can't pick up. It's Kristen, who you can reach at 312-485-0638. That's good enough, Terry?
That's good enough. Let's get the other one. And then let's make sure that people know that it does. They don't have to pay to see them either.
Yeah, you don't need to pay to speak to our nurses and just have a conversation and see if our clinic is a good fit for you. So call anytime, Kristen at that number or Kate at 630-531-5198. So call us anytime.
That's so important. That's so important that resources or resource is there. We're going to take a quick short break. I want to bring in our farmer to let people know about the differences in the foods, because we want to make sure that whether you're a cancer survivor or not, that you get the best possible highly nutritious food. Actually, we may be doing some work looking at doing some work at the university of Illinois with some other collaborators on making, on really trying to look at that and make some statements around the density, nutritional density of foods. So because we know that in particularly many of the underserved communities, the nutritional density of the food is not what it needs to be. And even the availability of the food may not be what it needs to be, as Mari Gallagher showed us back with her paper back in 2010. So very, very important. So we're going to take a quick break right now. We'll be right back. And I'm going to ask Mr. Williamson to join us very quickly there to let people know about what we're doing. So stay with us. Be right back after this.
Changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty.
And we're back. And we want to get right into the conversation. Is Anthony with us? Anthony Williamson?
Yes.
All right. Mr. Williamson, I just finished having a conversation with two guests that I have on the show today, Dr. Deborah Jean Marist and Ms. Jeanette Carter. And Ms. Carter is a breast cancer survivor, and Dr. Marist runs the survivorship of people with cancer at the University of Illinois Cancer Center. And I mentioned to them just very briefly the work that now I'm involved with very deeply on, because I feel so strongly about the role that food, good, nutritious food can play. So I just want you to just speak a bit about the food that we're growing and the kinds of way we talk about sustainability and no pesticides. You want to just talk about that for just a second? Because I want people to understand.
Yes, what we try to do is put out a product that's respectful of our planet and the people of our planet. You know, we respect all life forms that we have. So we try to grow a product that doesn't harm the environment and doesn't harm the human body as best possible. We're going to use any synthetic chemicals, fertilizers, or pesticides or herbicides on our vegetables. We try to grow them that way as best as possible. Sometimes things come in contact with other environmental pollutants that we can't really help. We have two farms next door to us. They both grow their food traditional ways, you know, using Roundup and GMO seeds. We try to stick with heirloom plants and seeds and non-GMO products. We believe that that's just a better product. The work is a little bit more harder. We try to get people to understand, you know, people pay for premium cars and premium clothes. So it shouldn't really hurt you to pay for a premium food that's going to help to keep you off of these medicines and keep you healthy, things like that. You don't want to introduce things that's not natural to the body, and that's what a lot of the foods that's out here does, you know. You're going to get enough of these things by the air and just come in contact. So you want to keep this stuff out of your food source as much as possible and be able to control your food source, you know, with locally produced food and create a local economy and something that the younger people could be proud of. You know, we don't have a lot of businesses in our community, and so we need to start, you know, trying to build up more businesses in our community, especially those that provide the essential service.
Yeah, and that's what this food situation is. And I want to make sure that, you know, hopefully we'll get some of our guests to come out and actually take a firsthand look, and we'll be opening time for people to come out and take a firsthand look. Can you give just a little bit of the what we're going to have available for this season, Mr. Williamson?
Yeah, we're going to have at least 20 different varieties of different vegetables, but we'll have collard greens, mustard greens, turnip greens, kale, tomatoes, bell peppers, various different other type of peppers like jalapenos and habanero, string beans, Swiss chard, beets, squash, cucumbers, eggplants, watermelon, cantaloupe, and corn.
That's a pretty wide, and this is all going to be grown in the method that you just outlined, right here in Lansing. It's not far that you have to go. Let's give a number for people that if they're interested, we can go into more detail about the cost and things of that nature. So why don't you give that number, Mr. Williamson, and then we'll get back to our guests. Go right ahead, Mr. Williamson.
Yes, 773-319-0575. We're a little bit behind this year due to the weather. The distribution generally starts around the second week of July, between the second week in July and the first week of August. And so we're not really behind on the food production, just on our administrative things, but it's not too late to become a part of this.
Let's give the number again slowly.
773-319-0575.
And I'm sorry, Mr. Williamson, thanks for providing this service to our communities. This is fantastic. What is the name again of your farm?
It's Mother Carr's Farm, 1975 Joel Road, Linwood, Illinois. We've been doing this for about 11 years now.
Great.
And what happened is that our group, the Health Policy Institute for Chicago, which is a organization that myself and Dr. Thomas Britt own, is the organization now that has taken over the operational work leadership. And Mr. Williamson represents the farmer, is the farmer, and is just an amazing gentleman in terms of how he's able to pull this together. Actually, we're going to be going to another place to talk about this, because we do need more of this, not just for people who are battling or surviving cancer, but you know, the other diseases like cardiovascular disease and other things can still cause problems, even if your other situations are well managed. So I want people there is a cost, and we will, you know, rather than take up more time on the air with that, we want you to call and we can give you that information. It is worked out in what's called a community supported agriculture way, where people actually purchase what's called a share, and that share determines your amount of food that you get each distribution, and that is distributed every other week for the entire season, which will start somewhere around in July and go all the way through usually November, depending on weather. So we'll give you more information there, but this is a way for you to get something that's not going to contain any GMOs, not contain any pesticides, not is grown in a sustainable way in a local place. It's not being shipped over as a country for thousands of miles. So that's why we want to make sure. And this is because we want not just breast cancer survivors or survivors of any cancer, but even people who haven't had cancer and people who haven't had anything. This is the best defense that you have, is this good offense. And that good offense is the food. Did you have any other questions, either you or, excuse me?
I do. How do I just come there and can just purchase it? Is that how it's done?
No. What happens is, what we do is we're trying to keep this sustainable, and we're trying to do it in not only just agriculturally sustainable, financially sustainable. So when you call, there's two areas. There's a full share and a half share. And we can go over those more with you over the phone when we talk to you, so that you can take the time to really, really explain it very nicely to you. And
okay, wonderful.
That's why you have that's why you put out the number, so we can do that and give you that individual attention. Much like you're getting at the UIC, at the University of Illinois Cancer Center. It's all individual attention. No one's a group. Everybody is treated as, I'm sure that's what you're doing there. Is that right, doctor?
Yeah, definitely. And definitely something that would be a great partnership for us to develop more and bring to more of our patients, because you are 100% right. What you put in your body is going to improve outcomes if it's better quality. And I think just what Mr. Williamson said as well, we we spend all this money on other things like cars and electronics, and we should be spending money on our health. And we in this household, at my home, it's the health care is non-negotiable. It's just always something, you know, to invest in, because your health and wellness is important. And we believe that at the University of Illinois Cancer Center, and want to help all of our patients and communities be the healthiest that they can be.
Right. And we're happy to work with the University of Illinois Cancer Center with any survivor group or anyone. This is just about this. We're really just making this food available for anybody. And it's done through what's called community-sponsored agriculture, which means you pay for a share. And the share is like $472. $475 for a full share, and half that for a little less than half of that for the half share. And that gives you at least what we could say is an average of at the full share of almost 25 pounds of food every other week. And a little less than half of that for the other share. So, and that doesn't include the weight of watermelons and the larger fruits. That's not included in that weight, but it is included in that share. So you get this and you pick it up every other week. Once we start, and once you get you'll get the information, we'll tell you exactly when to start. I'll be talking about it on the radio. But we know where this comes from. We know what's been in and what's not in it. And we want to make sure that all people have an opportunity to eat the best possible foods, because we know that a lot of these things over time do create issues for us. And that's why we want us to have this opportunity, not just for people suffering from cancer, but everybody. And I've been a member of this CSA for several years. Mr. Williamson's been doing this for over 10 years. And it has been, I think, a godsend for that. So it's really, really, really important that we continue to work together in doing these things. And we'd like to talk a bit more about what else we might be able to work together on in terms of making these things available and having an opportunity to talk to the survivors. If that's something you guys deem important or necessary, be happy to help out in that regard too.
Absolutely. The Cancer Center, University of Illinois Cancer Center, would be welcome to having talks with you, Terry, and trying to leverage all this to help out all of our patients eating better and taking care of themselves.
Well, I want to thank, okay, well, we've got a couple of people that are on the line that have some questions for you guys. So let's go ahead and take a caller. You're on the air with your question, or go right ahead.
Yeah, hello?
Hello, go right ahead. You're on the air. Yes,
yeah, I just want to know. Yeah, I was calling to see was everything still the same with the money. You know, you pay. I still got the same envelope, so I can send my money. Is everything changed? Nothing changed, right?
Yes, the same thing with the same PO box. You have the same PO box on the Health Policy Institute. Yes.
Yeah, because last time when I got it, you know, the season ended before I was able to send my money. Can I send it now?
Oh, okay. Early? Well, you can. No. You can send it now.
Okay, and then I want to know what's good for your eyes. I know carrots is, because remember I said my girl, she had a stroke, and she's saying her eyes are starting to hurt right now. Yeah.
Well, you know, I don't believe in a single food is good for a particular thing. You know, food doesn't behave like an arrow. You know, it's not a solo. It's a symphony, and the foods all work together to help us provide us with the nutrient that we need. So we always think about things together. You know, it's a combination of fruits and vegetables and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
Yeah, it's all about eating. Sorry, just want to respond to that. Yeah, it's just all about the whole foods and having fresh food that you're eating. In particular, I think for eye health, antioxidants are good across the board and help, like dark leafy green vegetables, like the kale and spinach and broccoli that Mr. Williamson was talking about.
All right. Well, you know, that's to me, that's the best medicine that you can take other than your medication that your doctor is prescribing for either your chemo or what have you. And actually can help with when you're eating really good food, it actually all works together to help the whole healing process. We had another caller calling you in the air. Go right here with your question.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I know I'm being kind of specific, but I want to ask you about watermelon and cucumbers. I read a little bit on Facebook that that can help you avoid cancer, if you can add something to that. Thank you.
Well, I'll first of all defer to the specialist. We do know that there are foods that help us, and there are foods that hurt us. So I'm going to let Dr. Mintz go ahead and talk about that for just a minute.
Yeah, and again, just to spell it out for everyone, it's Dr. Mintz, M-A-N-S-T. So, I think what Terry's been saying, whole food, just fresh diet, watermelon, cucumber are great, but also get your leafy greens, get cruciferous vegetables and sweet potatoes. And having a healthy diet and healthy things you put in is going to be the best thing to decrease your cancer risks. You know, a lot of these news stories kind of pick up one thing or another for a little detail, and it doesn't mean it's bad. It's in the media. It's kind of sometimes sensationalized. So there's some grain of truth to it. But overall, just recommending a really varied, healthy diet. You look at something like the Mediterranean diet, or a whole food plant-based diet. Those are very good, good to get all of your nutrients, essential nutrients, as well as decreasing inflammatory and decreasing those getting off some antioxidants in your diet.
Yep, and then we want to make sure that people have an opportunity to avail themselves of, there's all kinds of things out there. And now in the center, I know we've been talking about breast cancer, but what about men? Do you have men that are part of your center and in your survivorship
program? Yeah, we do. We have prostate cancer survivors, kidney cancer, urologic types of cancers, head and neck cancer survivors. So yes, we have men as well. I mean, it is very, you know, woman heavy due to all the gynecologic types of cancers and breast cancers, but we see all types of cancer and at any stage, and anyone is welcome.
And that's so important, because I think sometimes men feel left out, and we don't want anybody to feel left out, because it's all about survivorship for everybody. Is that right?
You are completely correct. I believe that too.
Yeah, and I'm glad that we did bring this up, because there are a number of cancers that you just pointed out. And I'm actually giving a talk on the 10th of this month out for a group and out in the southern suburbs. And what I wanted to make sure that I did is make sure that everyone knew where that was and what we're going to be doing, because it's important. Important for men to understand, and it's also to support their wives or their daughters or their mothers or their fathers, their mothers with these kinds of things. So can you just talk just briefly a little about the role the family helps to play in survivorship?
Definitely. The family can influence a lot. Family and caretakers, whoever that may be, can help you with your diet or your intake. Reducing alcohol intake, for instance, really decreases the risk of multiple types of cancer, especially breast cancer. No more than a drink per week. That's something that your families can help you look out for. and really a good supportive system and a good social network can really help, and truly I've seen it in clinic, help to improve outcomes for survivors. Even if that's something programmed from Wellness House and Stress Reduction or a support group with the American Cancer Society, there's lots of resources that are available to patients who may not have that family. But having a good family, having a robust presence of caretakers in your cancer journey is very helpful.
Well, we're doing, we want to make sure that men know that we're doing some things for, because this is also Men's Health Month. We've been doing a lot of things in cancer with men, too. So Freedom Church Men's Ministry is having an event on Saturday, the 10th of this month. I want you to come on out, and there's a lot of information that we're going to be doing. I'll be there lecturing. They're doing a lot of this lately with men, and love to work with the Cancer Center at the University of Illinois. So come on out at Freedom Church, and it's this coming Saturday. We have food, we have all kinds of things. We also got fitness that we're going to be doing, but a good person I tend to know that knows this, and that's my son. So it'll be the two Terry Masons doing their thing there. So listen, come on out and join us. Be loving to have you out at Freedom Church out in the suburbs. And I'm sorry, we're running out of time. Maybe we'll get that back again. So until next week at the same time and station, may God continue to bless each and every one of you with continued health and strength as I leave you now in peace. Thank you so much, University of Illinois Cancer Center, for all the work that you do. And we look forward to having more.
Thank you. But there's a reason for my being.